quick count and I see that everyone that was here earlier has pretty much stayed, so thank you. Coupons will be handed out later. The first lesson, and we're going to get into a review in a moment, but the idea is very important for us, and I think as we look around, I'll touch on this during some point in the second lesson. You know, one of the things that's always amazed me in with regard to this idea of something from nothing, not just the World Trade Center in New York, but all cities, all buildings, especially Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Dubai, some of the great metropolis or metropolitan areas of the world, all those buildings, and sometimes they completely obscure all nature. It just is nothing but buildings. And yet, we have to remember, all those buildings were made by a person. I even go out to my car sometimes, and I think, even though I know there's multiple people involved with the design and development, the assembly and so on, it's still a person basically could put that car together. And this building, I mean, it's a big building, but there were just a few people that worked on this building. And so we make rational sense out of all those things, and it doesn't matter how big the building is, we recognize, well, a human being basically did this. But then we just let the world run off with the idea that bigger things had to have been something besides God. And it's just something that's always stuck with me. So in the first lesson, we talked about the species of life on Earth, and we gave totals for that. We talked about the type of dinosaurs that we've got in the fossil record and approximately how many species were there. We talked about the species of animals on Earth today and how their numbers were significant. We talked about the species of trees, and we talked about Glennon's family down in Corwin, on the Corwin Road there. So, nice thing about Glennon not being able to hear all that great is sometimes I can pick on him and he's still happy to talk to me afterwards. How does the sun and the other stars function? We talked about the complexity of just the fact that our star does what it does all the time. I mean, just, we think of a nuclear explosion and it's a one-time event. We see there's a few videos that exist that shows the power of an atomic bomb and what it can do. And you magnify that times 600,000 and think about that happening in the sun every second, every day, for as long as the sun's been there and until it ends. And our heat comes from those. It's just astounding how that works. And it's not just our sun, like I mentioned in the first lesson. All stars perform, as far as we can tell, very much the same function. We talked about all the stars in our galaxy and how many there were. So from lesson one, we conclude that by asking, which makes the most sense? And the subject again, something from nothing. Are we going to accept the Big Bang as the random start for the universe and our lives? Or was this orchestrated by an all-powerful God? As I point on the bullet there, the answer should be clear. So for lesson two, we're going to segue into a study of Ephesians chapter 2. I thought it did a good job in our New Testaments of kind of bringing up the subject, not only to point out how we should understand substance and where it came from, but more importantly, how we as Christians can relate to this idea of something from nothing. And then finally, the third point will be how the church can relate to something from nothing. So, again, we'll get started. It's basically, I'm going to have each verse up here. There's a few of them that I've got two verses on because it didn't break up well. So we're going to do an expository. For those that aren't used to an expository, it's basically the idea or the root word of that is expose. It's kind of like taking a magnifying glass and going over something until you see exactly what it's doing. And so we're looking a little bit deeper. And I think all of us that have been in the adult study in Hebrews, as well as some of the other studies we have, can understand an expository because we've been in the outline for Hebrews for 5 weeks. So if we can expose what's in Hebrews just by doing the outline on there, I think you understand that. So every one of these verses that I put up here, as I've done in the past, I've underlined words that I feel in the passage relate to the subject today, and that is something from nothing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, all from the New King James Version. And you, he made alive. Right off the bat, what does that say? It means you were dead. In some way, you were not living. And it says so. You who were dead in trespasses and sin. So how do we relate that to the something from nothing? Well, first of all, who is being written to in this chapter? We know from Ephesians chapter 1:1 is Paul writing to the Ephesians church, or the church at Ephesus. And he's writing to Christians there. So this is a continuation of that. So he's saying, you, Ephesian Christians, he made alive, referring to Christ, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he's talking about the people there. And we know that the New Testament is meant to be passed on not only to other churches then, but to us today, because these are the words of God given through the apostles' hands. So the something here is Christ. The nothing here is our condition with the trespasses and sins that we carry. Next verse, chapter 2, verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works the sons of disobedience. Now here we can go back and forth with something from nothing, depending on your perspective. The something, in a negative way, is this idea of walking these bad ways, these trespasses and sins, as was talked about in verse 1 of chapter 2. But the nothing is the fact that you're paying attention to what is called here the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience. This was one of the verses that we talked about in class recently, because in most contexts, when we talk about spirit and power and princes, and we have this almost majesty of those mentioned in the text of Scripture, we're talking about God and Christ and His royal nature. But this Satan, the devil on earth, has all power here. We understand that is why Christ came here, to overcome him. So the nothing that we're dealing with, the Ephesian Christians then and Christians today, the nothing is walking to the course of the world, doing what the world wants you to. Yeah, it seems like something to you. Any person that's not a Christian can say, I'm doing stuff. I got a job. I got a family. I'm doing things. I like what I'm doing. I'm having fun on the weekends. To that person, it's something. But to God, it is nothing. It has no value whatsoever. So again, going back to our first lesson, what do you trace all things back to? Do you trace all things back to nothing? Or do you trace all things back to God? Because if you trace all things back to God, He, as Scripture states, was there in the beginning, is there now, and will always be there. If you don't have anything to worry about, or nothing to worry about, as the world has it, they can ignore all those things. And so they could look at this in a different way than we can. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature called the children of wrath, just as the others. This is another important point. We look at Paul and other writers of the New Testament scriptures as people that are very, very religious, very, very godly, people that sin does not touch very easily. Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, and he says, whom also we all once conducted ourselves in, and he lists these things. So he is saying, listen, I have the gift of God is with me. I am able to speak of the Spirit, but I am sinful. I was sinful, and I will be sinful if not for the grace of God and the mercy of Christ by taking my sins away. So he says here, again, this idea of something from nothing, fulfilling the desires for a human that doesn't believe in God, that might be something to them. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, doing the things that we want because it's enjoyable for us, again, seems like something to us, but not to God. Flip that back around. It means nothing to Him. The something to God is when we put away all these things. Continuing verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. So now we start seeing a little bit better picture of what the something is that God holds for us. Not the emptiness that we have in our lives before we knew God. First of all, God. Just that name alone should be something significant for us. What is the value of God? He is rich in mercy, and because of His great love with which He loved us. Again, you need to go back to us again, and those previous verses, 1 through 3, show how empty we were of righteousness. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Okay, so now we're really looking at some nothings here. Dead, death, absolutely nothing. When things are dead, there is nothing left of them. There may be a body, but there is no life left in it. And it's just a shell. That's how we could be. How can Christians be dead? Well, it says dead in our trespasses. So if we have trespasses, we were doing things contrary to the law of God, that death is right, is where we stand. There is nothing beneficial for God in that state. But He pulls us out of that nothing and makes us alive. He says, together with Christ, by grace you've been saved. I've talked about this in a previous lesson, the idea of somebody in a well. You need to get them out of there. You have to throw down a rope and you have to pull them back out of there. If they stay down in that well, they are going to die. They're going to amount to nothing. But somebody that takes the time to pull them out of there is a process of work, but it can save them, as it says here. Christ will do for us. We'll be made alive together with Him. So how do we become something as Christians? Something to God. We are pulled out of those trespasses and united with Christ and God. Ephesians 2:6. I talked about the rope and the well. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you had a big sign that said, this is something, this is really something. And you hear people used to say that, hey, that was really something. They're talking about, this is a big deal. Well, that's what heaven is. That's what spiritual things are. And again, going back to the well, He raised us up, pulling us back out of the deplorability of a condition that we can't do anything for ourselves. We are just totally lost, unable to help ourselves. Not only did He pull us out and raise us up, but He set us in that place that we were talking about. This place is something. This is heaven. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Again, so okay, we start going through here and we start getting down to the nitty-gritty. Okay, heaven sounds like a good thing, but what's the big deal about this place? Why is it so special? Well, first of all, it's contrary to that prince that reigns in the earth that basically keeps people in those trespasses and sins and gets them involved in those lusts of the flesh and of the mind. But it says it might show the exceeding riches of His grace. So this value is extremely high, and it's all based on grace. We don't talk about grace a lot, but grace, again, I think one of my favorite words, somebody had taken the words and broken it down, is grace is defined as God's redemption at Christ's expense, taking each letter a different way. That grace is what we all received as Christians. And His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So grace and kindness lumped together, those are something for a Christian to take us away from the nothingness that we have in this world. Continuing on, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, keep going back to that mental image of the well. If you don't want to see me, close your eyes and think about it. Grace that you've been saved through faith. Staying in a well, it doesn't matter whether I throw that rope down to you and I'm pulling on it. If you don't grab a hold of that, trusting that I'll pull you out of that well, you're still lost. I could do it over and over and over again. If you don't have the faith to hold on to that, to get pulled out of there, you will be lost. And that is the grace that God and Christ are extending to us. And we're only going to be saved if we grab a hold of that. We've talked about baptism. Baptism is that action that basically is grabbing a hold of the rope and holding on. Others see you getting pulled up out of that well. Yeah, that's true. That is God taking your sin away and pulling you back up into life. And then it underscores that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's nothing in my own ability that I could do if I'm stuck in a hole to ever get out of it. I have got to have somebody help me. And that is exactly what God and Christ do for us as Christians. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Very straightforward about that. Works are nothing to God. It doesn't matter. There's a place for them. We can certainly look at that in two different ways. A Christian cannot show faith unless he's demonstrating works, but we cannot be saved on our own merits. I can say, God, I am doing something really cool. It's going to make you happy. You're going to save me because of what I just did. Nope. I am still nothing to God. It is only by grace that we are saved. Verse 10. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A number of things here. First of all, we hear His workmanship. You can take some of the verses that talk about a potter starting off with a lump of clay. The clay is formless. There's nothing to it. or we think about the craftsmen that we know in our lives. Many of us like to go to antique shows or to craft shows and watch them build things. They start off with a piece of wood, or they start off with a block of clay, or they could start off with anything. Even baking sometimes is an amazing act by itself. I'm not going to talk about cakes. No strawberry cakes today, so don't worry. But they're still okay. But seeing what people can create out of those things is very exciting to us, to see those things. So God, we are created as workmanship for Him. He is taking us from nothing in a sinful state and molding us into something useful for Him. But we have to work in it. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. So the something and the nothing, the good works is something. And what we've started off as was the nothing. And it says that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, talking about those good works. Yeah, one person, Christ could throw down that rope for me and pull me out of there. What's my job now? To look for people in holes and try to help them out. I don't just drive around and just keep not looking for them. As a Christian, we don't just wait for somebody to come to us, and I kind of touch on this at the end of today's lesson. We don't just wait for opportunity to come to us and say, hey, Roger, I really need to know God. Can you help me out? Oh, sure. Let me see if I can fit it into my schedule. About 2 more months, maybe? Sure, that'd be good. No, that is not what we do. We need to be going around, that looks like a hole. I'll tell you, as a motorcyclist, anybody that's had a bike and has ridden motorcycles, you become very sensitive to that. One thing I have always done, and I've actually seen evidence of this a couple times, thankfully I've never seen an accident, but I know curves that are dangerous. I know curves that have gravel on them, that a motorcyclist would just love to go lean. I mean, it's a very enjoyable thing if you like to ride a bike and just coast right into a turn and take it smoothly. It's enjoyable for motorcyclists. But if you have gravel on that curve and the curve is in a dangerous space, you can easily have that bike slide out from under you and go down. And I have seen places where there is evidence that somebody did exactly that. So my job as a biker not only is to be careful myself, but to keep an eye out on those dangerous places and, did somebody else go off there? I've actually seen fresh tracks straight off the road. Thankfully, there was nobody was there still. But my job was to watch out for a brother on a motorcycle to make sure they're okay. And that's the kind of thing that we all do. We need to be sensitive to the places that we may not necessarily go to find someone at risk and make sure we can help them out. Again, I'm never going to look into a hole if I'm not trying to. If you're looking around like that, you're going to say, hey, my brother, my sister, right down there. What? How'd you get down there? Long story. Okay, here. Get out of there. Let's go. I mean, that's the type of people that we want to be because that's what Christ has done for us. Verse 11. Therefore, remember I've talked about this a lot in class. Therefore is like a period or a summary of whatever was just talked about. So everything that we've said so far in this chapter. Remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at time you were without Christ. So you simplify this down to easier to understand. There were Jews who did exactly what God wanted them to do by performing certain functions. And now, as Christians, we are able to do that as being baptized into Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about something these last few verses. Here's all about nothing. Strangers, no hope, without God in the world. That's all the aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Again, remember, the Bible tells us the Jew first and also the Greek was how the gospel was preached. And later it went to the Gentiles, of whom most of us are. So here is all the examples of when we don't have God. Verse 13, but now, so we talked about all these things you don't have. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Okay, so make that idea of that rope in the well even bigger. You've got a lasso around somebody way off in the distance. Now, maybe you've seen some movies where somebody goes over the cliff and they're hanging on to a rope, or maybe there's two of them and everybody's at the top and they're holding on as tight as they can. The people hanging off the cliff, they have no hope whatsoever. They've got a lasso around them. They're dangling off the edge. It doesn't matter what they do. There's no way they're going to get to the top again. But somebody at the top is pulling them, getting them back up there. And that's the idea here. Christ, but now in Christ, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, His sacrifice, is bringing us closer to where God is. Verses 14 and 15. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Again, a little bit difficult to kind of process if you haven't read this verse in a while. But Christ, what's the something here? The something is Christ himself, and the something is our peace. Without peace, we don't have it. We have that concern, that stress, that worry. Who has made both one and has broken down that middle wall of separation. So another thing you have, if you have something and you have nothing, there's often a divider in between those things. Otherwise, everybody could get the something or everybody could get the nothing. There is a separation there. And that separation for Christians is the separation between being saved and not being saved. This idea of sin that we couldn't escape until Christ. He broke down that wall and said, no, I can save you now. How many times have you tried this? You do have something on a rope. I'm going to keep going back to this. Wasn't part of the lesson today, but it works well. You're pulling on something. You're trying to reel it in. And I tell you, for me, anybody that likes to take care of their plants in the summertime, it'll probably happen with your garden hose. How many times has that happened to somebody? I just need it out here. It's like, it's stuck on a tire. It's stuck on a fence. It's stuck on something stupid. And it's kinked, and it just will not budge. It's like, really? Why? Well, if that obstacle wasn't there, it would just come right along. It'd be real easy, wouldn't it? That's kind of how sin and this wall that was broken down for us is. We can't get to God. God wants us. We're trying to get over to Him. We may be pulling ourselves, whatever the case may be. But that wall is always there, blocking our way. For many of us that grew up with that wall in Berlin, the Berlin Wall that separated East and West Berlin, those people not only couldn't get over very easily, but are often shot trying to get over. Today, you don't even think about that. I mean, kids have no idea what we're even talking about. But there was a time saying, no, this is our land. You will not get over here, and we're not letting anybody out of here. And that's basically what Satan was doing to all peoples up to the time of Christ. 16. That he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. The enmity is that separation again, that wall that divided. And that's exactly what Christ was able to do. Reconciling them. He reconciles us to God if we are obedient to Him. He said, nope, you are sin, you are nothing, but Christ is something, and He's taken His something and brought you to Me as God, and I recognize you as something now because you are part of Him. Verse 17, and He came and preached the peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. All of us have been afar off. Just like the first verse we talked about, we're caught up in trespasses, we're caught up in sin, we're caught up in lust. One of the things I liked about that first verse that I think we touched on, if it wasn't first, it was the second. It said lust of the flesh, and what else did it say? Do you remember? It said lust of the mind. We don't talk about that a lot of times. We think about the things that cater to our flesh, but there's a lot of things that cater to our brains, our minds, and sometimes that's just as bad. But Christ came, He preached peace to us who were far off, way out past that lasso, yet He came and He was able to bring us near. Verse 18. Through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Again, being part of that something, so important. Verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So not only have we been pulled a great distance or pulled over the cliff or pulled out of the well, we've actually been united with people that are all sharing in the jubilation, the happiness, the love, the bounty of that something of God, that something that Christ has, the substance of things hoped for. We talked about that just recently in our Hebrew study. Substance is something. The absence of that is a lack of substance or nothing. And that's all we have hope for if we don't believe. So again, the household of God, as we've talked about before, it's our recharge zone, it's our energy source, it's our, just we talked about the sun, it's that warming up of nuclear fusion and reaction. That's how we lift and provoke one another to good works. Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. It doesn't say that we are built on the apostles, it doesn't say we are built on the prophets, but it says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation was the keys that Peter was given, the preaching that was done by the apostles through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and Christ being that cornerstone that everything sat upon. totally balanced on Him. So how do you have something? You've got to make sure that you have a place for it and build up on it structurally. Verse 21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple to the Lord. So you get this whole building, as we talked about this building here, had to have a good structure. If you don't have a good structure, walls will crack, roofs will break, leaks will happen, all things will go badly. If Christ is the cornerstone, and the words of the prophets and of the apostles were the starting point, and everything's built on them, we won't have anything to worry about. Verse 22, in whom also you're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, closing thoughts. Without God, the universe and the order of it would not exist as it does. You have an option to accept that all things exist purely by chance. So I'll bring up my little piece of paper again. And you got a 30 by 30 pixel square of emptiness. Is that what everything started off with? When we look in the night sky and we see, as I was talking to Cody and Rochelle, do we see one spire of the Milky Way galaxy? That little bend, that little spiral that comes off of our galaxy? And we say, oh, that all came actually off this little ballpoint pen. It all came from there. Seriously. That's one thing I've yet to understand about science. And I think some scientists have gotten the point. We're talking about some great, powerful, significant, just mind-blowing things, and yet look what we keep saying it goes back to. Nothing. It just does not make sense. I don't care how educated you are, if that is your opinion for the source of all things, you're talking foolishness. So, you have two options there. Second point, without God, man is lost and condemned. We talked about that idea of something from nothing, that idea of being lost. We need somebody to pull us out of there. That's what God and Christ do for us. Without God, Christ would not be, nor would He save us. So we take God out of the picture completely. Even that's lost. For one thing, we can't explain where all things came from, but now we have no hope for anything else. Nothing future, nothing past. Without our repentance, we cannot be forgiven. I mean, we can come to church a lot of times, but God is not going to forgive us if we are not repentant. If we keep going the wrong direction, remember what does repentance mean? It means I'm going this way, and I'm like, nope, I need to go back this way. It's that point that some guys get to when they realize they've led their family down the road for 30 miles, and it's the wrong way. Like, let's go back to where I know where I'm supposed to be. That brings a lot of happiness sometimes to the other people in the car, right? I usually do that when I'm about to run out of gas, though. But repentance is that. It's realizing I'm not going the right way. I need to turn around. That's what God's looking for. And not only is He looking for it from us up to baptism, but He's always looking for it after that. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Roger, where are you going? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm a Christian. It doesn't mean that I'm going to always go the right way. Sometimes I'm going to go the wrong way. Sometimes intentionally, my job is to turn around quickly and get back where I'm supposed to belong. Without our baptism, we cannot be saved. I talked about you can't get out of the hole if you don't grab the rope. It's exactly what baptism is. Christ keeps throwing it down to us, say, hey, salvation, why are you in that hole? Get out. Grab the rope, come out of there. And this point here, without our teaching, preaching, and living a godly life, to and for others, the world is lost. Like the universe, order does not just happen by chance. I talked about some people might come to me, and my job as a Christian is not to say, hey, try to get with me and let me know that you're in a sinful condition. I'll try to see if I get time to teach you about God and Christ. That's not what God asks of us to do. We're supposed to be looking out for all people in any condition that they're in, to try to lead them to Christ. This is where I think I fail. I think this is where a lot of people in the church fail. Don't just wait for opportunities to come and announce themselves. Find the opportunities. How many people in the area around us are we bringing to Waynesville? We've been here for a year and a half, going on 2 years now. How many people, besides a few of the members here, know about this congregation in that neighborhood that's just 100 yards away? How many people in our lives have we invited to be part of the church? I'm asking myself these questions because I probably don't have the best answers either. The church is not going to just magically grow one day because of no apparent reason. Just as a foolish idea to say everything in all creation started off from nothing. It's the same mentality to say this church is going to grow by leaps and bounds if we all do the same thing that we've done up to this point. We have to do more. Now, going back to what Edith brought up in class today, we need to make sure that we're guarded with our time. We can't give more to people than we're able to do because that will impact us negatively. We need to do things that are going to be things that we can handle. Not all of us, the Bible teaches us, not all of us are teachers, not all of us are preachers, or all the different things that come with an active congregation. Some of us have talents that others don't have, and we should use those to the best of our abilities. And that's what makes us a strong congregation. That's all that I had for you today. Hopefully you can make sense out of all those things. There will be a quiz next week on all the scientific terms that I mispronounced, so please make sure that you can write this down. It will be a number 2 pencil, and it will be Scantron, so you'll get multiple choice, so no problems there. But seriously, every day we're going to face this idea of science. I don't care what show you watch. You go to a school library, you go to a public library, you go to a study with kids. Evolution is everywhere. And I'm not going to say that the way that God has designed life doesn't have the ability to transition. Certainly, God started off with this life in the sea, and he ended up with human beings. I don't know how he did that. I can't tell you what methodology he used for that. But I can tell you for sure that he did not let a speck of dust, first of all, where did that speck of dust come from? He does not let that speck of dust become the entire universe, and then to become ordered, and then to become animals, and then to become life, and then to become repeatable, and being able to have offspring, and having male and female. Just think about all that stuff. It's not possible. The same is true for being a Christian. It doesn't just happen. There's a method to it. And it all comes from the instruction of Christ. Why do we follow the Bible? Because only the Bible tells us about God, and it tells us what we need to do to meet him one day. Only the Bible tells us about life, and only the Bible tells us about who is the start and who will be the finisher of all things. So today, the lesson is yours. Just think about something and nothing as the weeks go by and where you fit into that picture. Hopefully today all of us can be something for God. And if we're not, let's make it something. We don't want to be a nothing for God because he's given us too much. That line's been thrown down to us too often. If you have any needs, please let those be known as we stand and sing.